to describe as God as the shepherd. Over and over in the Old Testament, God is described as the ultimate good shepherd who cares for his sheep. Most famous that we point out and used all the time, Lenny pointed it out, it's used in good times and it's bad, is that the Lord is my shepherd in Psalm 23. Likewise, throughout Scripture, the children of Israel are referred to as sheep because they're prone to foolish behavior, prone to wandering, in need of guidance, leading, and care. And so let's just state the obvious. Sheep need a shepherd. And it extends beyond the just God in this understanding and imagery of the shepherd, because we push it off into the heroes of the faith as well. For instance, both Moses and King David were actual shepherds. They tended flocks even before they became shepherds of the nation of Israel. As a young boy, King David was a shepherd raised in a family of shepherds. As king, he's also described as the shepherd of the Israelite people, which is why it really makes sense when we get into the New Testament and learn into Jesus, who is in David's family line, that he would claim this identity as a shepherd as well, even though he came from a family of tradesmen. In Ezekiel 34, the Israelites are exiles, longing to return to their homeland. And God is described in this passage as a shepherd of the Israelite sheep, as it references and looks forward to with hope to an era where it's often called the day of the Lord or the year of the Lord, a time when predators will no longer be on the attack, and that Israel can understand its own safety. So when Jesus is speaking to his disciples in John chapter 10, as we read this morning, the idea of this Messiah as shepherd is very, very familiar. And so we can't forget and just assume and take it only as that right there, as if there's no other context. We have to bring along the context and the history of this idea of the shepherd leader along with us from the Old Testament. As Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is not just making some shallow point that's easily, you know, just looking at, well, I care for and I have compassion for my sheep. And while that's true, when Jesus is claiming, though, that he is the good shepherd, he's making a much bigger reference. He is very blatantly and unabashedly identifying himself as the Messiah. But there's a distinction here, because he's not the Messiah that everybody thought they were looking to. Well, they were looking for a militaristic political leader that would come with strength and power to fight off and to lead a bloody revolution. For the liberation of God's people. And instead, Jesus comes as a shepherd who's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Once again, Jesus is pointing out, God's way is his way, and it's not our ways. God's way is working in ways that we don't expect for a kingdom that looks very different from the world they were expecting and maybe even wanting. Now, of course, the Pharisees know the scripture well. They know all the references that Jesus is pulling from. And they recognize especially this understanding of Ezekiel right away, and they are not thrilled. They don't like this idea of what Jesus is declaring is Messiah, even as he equates his presence with the year of the Lord, which is good news. It's what they've been looking for. It's the hope that they've been wishing for and holding on to. Because even as he says these things, he is demonstrating his messiahship in a different way because of the way he acts toward the poor, the oppressed, and the marginalized, not just of the Jewish nation and people, but even of the Gentile. And I've admitted before, I am a city boy. Now, Baker's changing me. I'm a city boy, though. I'm learning. I have never raised sheep. Believe it or not, that was not something that was in my backyard. Although it would have been handy so I wouldn't have had to mow the lawn. But it didn't take me long here as I've been in here in Baker and going to some 4-H fairs to understand some things about sheep. The biggest thing I've noticed, if you're watching them during the show, is that without a strong guiding hand, sheep tend to wander and they endanger themselves. One of my favorite videos is this sheep that gets pulled out of this ditch and he's upside down and the shepherd pulls him out, and what does he do? He takes two hops and right back in. In fact, one of the reasons Psalm 23 references, you know, that the shepherd leads me by still water. It's important because sheep have been known to drink water from places with strong currents. And then they get dragged in, swept away, and drown. Sheep are known for getting themselves trapped in hard to reach places. Areas where there are no food sources nearby. But it's not only that they just make bad decisions. They also are vulnerable to so many different predators because they can't defend themselves. They don't have claws, they don't have sharp teeth, or a way to camouflage themselves, so they have to rely on the shepherd as the primary way to stay safe. And yet, even as important as this role is throughout this area of Jesus' time of the shepherd and the dependency of need for the sheep, shepherding was not a highly favored job. Imagine that. Because the hours were long. And we're not just talking during the day. It's a 24/7 job. The shepherds had to sleep with their flocks overnight to be able to protect them from the predators. So naturally, shepherds were criticized. Well, you're gone all the time from your family, and you're leaving them vulnerable. So they're getting it on both sides. And shepherds were often in danger themselves because of the weather, because of the predators, because of thieves. And then they have to range way away from home in order to find places for their sheep to graze. And yet, due to the faithfulness of the shepherd, they are always there. They don't leave the flock. And the amazing thing about this relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is that not only are they there, but they have a unique call for their sheep. Different flocks of sheep would herd together and graze together, so other shepherds would be there as well. And yet, in the midst of the time when they needed to separate, the shepherds relied on the sheep recognizing the sound of their unique voice as well as their unique call. And if the sheep would not follow unless they heard the call from that they knew from the voice that they knew. This is why Jesus emphasizes that his sheep know him. Because he has a unique call that is very different from even the call of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. at this time. Jesus' call is different because it's salvation, it's holiness, it's freedom, and it's inclusion into the kingdom of God. And within the unique voice, instead of one that's just about rules and regulations and criticism, and you need to do better, it's also one of a gentle, loving, compassionate voice. And that's good news for us. Because if Christ is acting in the character of God, and he loves his sheep in that same way, then God's people can be confident that those that are acting in counter to the love and compassion of God are not acting on behalf of the shepherd. You can recognize him by those things. And so Jesus warns about this, and he's calling on the alert. Be on the alert, because there are people that claiming they care, and yet they don't really. There are people that say, you need to follow me, and yet they're acting in ways that are counter to the ways of the good shepherd. Because really, they are thieves and predators that just want to consume you. So here's the thing, and we've been saying this a lot lately. Maybe it's time we start really getting to the point, and I'm talking to myself, that not only, you know, if we want it for our own good, not only must we be in tune with God so that we know his voice and call, but we need to be listening. Because as the shepherd, Jesus recognizes he's putting himself in a dangerous position. Because as the good shepherd, his love and his compassion for his sheep go so far that he is not just a position holder. In fact, that he is going and willing to lay down his life for the sheep. In Psalm 23, it says the shepherd is described as walking with the sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. In the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd kind of goes off on his own to find that one sheep that kind of wandered away. He's putting himself in danger because he's willing to and loves that individual sheep when it wanders. And yet we can't overlook the fact that in Jewish religious practice, sheep were also used for sacrifice. It was meant to bestow forgiveness. But now in this role reversal, Jesus says that the shepherd is willing to take on the role of the sacrificed sheep in order to save the sheep. And we often use John's words to describe him. John, as he saw Jesus, he declared Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But do we really understand what that means? Have we fully grasped what that means on our behalf? For him to be a good shepherd, and yet, instead of having his life taken from him, he willingly lays it down on our behalf. You see, love, compassion, and incarnation are at the heart of Jesus' message. Jesus loves he leaves the power and he leaves the might that is behind him in order to unite fully and understand and be in the midst of us with humanity in our full humanness. Paul in Philippians 2 puts it this way: your not just his, but my attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but being made in human likeness, being made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the cross, to death, even death on a cross. The Good Shepherd. The ultimate protection was that he lays himself down for us. He had the power to stop it, but he didn't. He sacrifices himself, and Paul is saying and reminding us that as we unite our lives with Christ, as we understand what he's done for us and that he's called us to live in the midst of what he is doing and continuing to do, that as we begin to recognize that the kingdom of God is not about amassing power through violence, but about gentle, loving kindness that sacrifices for others, just as he sacrificed for us. Even in the midst of a world that still often looks to or prefers violence and power, that God is calling us to a different way. So if the way of the Good Shepherd is through the gate of compassion and of love and sacrifice, of laying down power, then we need to recognize that anything and anybody that doesn't embody those things is not of the Good Shepherd. And we can know this because the safety and well-being of the sheep matter to God. And it isn't just a spiritual word, but there is a real physical care implied in the caring of the sheep, which are fed, loved, and protected. We fully matter, both body and spirit, to the Good Shepherd. And Jesus points out, and I love this because it's to our benefit especially, that the flock is bigger than most wanted to confine it to. It's not just about a bloodline. It's that God's creation has been fully enveloped. So as the sheep who follow the voice of Christ, it's important that we should recognize and care about those who are being torn apart. The kingdom of God operates differently than the kingdoms of this world, where the world says, we want you, you know, to amass wealth and power. As I've talked about, the bumper sticker of my generation was, he who dies with the most toys wins. And it's such a wrong thing because the kingdom of God says we need to lay those things down, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. So one of the questions we need to ultimately answer at some point in our life, like the shepherd who laid down his life for us, where do we lay down our lives for those around us? When we embody Christ's sacrificial laying down of his life, we join in the glory of Christ's resurrection. When we embody Christ's sacrifice to the world, others begin to experience the resurrection power of Christ through us. And I admit, as we do that, that's how Christ changes communities. It's through the laying down of our lives. And I recognize that as we've been talking about, that Lent is the season of sacrifice. Now, it's more than sacrifice, well, I'm just not going to eat meat. Or, well, I'm just going to put aside social media. And all those things can be good, but the thing is, we lay down some things of this life in order to pick up other things that matter more. Things that God is calling us to in order for us to connect with God in more life-giving ways. We see in this image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, a God who gave up everything in order to love us well. Ultimately, to the point that he gave up his own life on our behalf. So we respond to the voice of the shepherd. We listen. We follow. And we do likewise. We lay down outside our power, our privilege, and sometimes even our own lives. to follow after him. We embrace others in love. And ultimately, we will see the power of the resurrection permeate the world. The Good Shepherd calls. Are you listening? Are we paying attention? Because he's calling us to a different life. When he says, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy, it's not just a statement. It's a calling to put aside the things of this world, that we would pick up things that are far more important, that we would so align ourselves with God that it changes the values of how we live in this world and in this life. Heavenly Father, you are the Good Shepherd. And I still have to admit, I don't fully get all the time what that truly means. But God, I am so thankful that in spite of my naive understandings, that you emptied yourself on my behalf. That you emptied of yourself and laid down your life on our behalf. That anyone who would believe in you would have the opportunity to put their faith and hope and understanding that you have achieved what we could never achieve. That if we would listen to your voice, to your call, that we would follow you instead of the things that try to consume us in this world. The thieves, the robbers. That you came here to give us life and life to the fullest. And so, God, we cling to you. We follow you. Help us to listen. Help us to be obedient to your voice. That as an example that you gave us, we would follow. And that those, as we are sent out of this sanctuary today, that we encounter in our community each and every day through the week, especially in our homes, would notice the difference that you make in our lives. For your grace truly is amazing. And so we give you thanks today, Lord. And we lean into the hope that you give us each and every day. In your name we pray, amen. Go and be the people of God.